Max Dupree, the former CEO of Herman Miller and the founder of the Max Dupree Center for Leadership, once wrote, "The first responsibility of a leader is to define reality. The last is to say thank you." He captures the great responsibility of leadership and the great power of leadership at the same time. Leaders have incredible power to transform everyone under their leadership. They also have great responsibility. Last fall, I did a series of talks on leadership and authority and how they work within a business culture, within a church culture, and within other settings. But I did this from a different perspective rather than starting with leadership studies or sociological studies or cultural studies. I started with the biblical story, with the revelation of Jesus Christ, with the story of Torah, with the story of the Hebrew people. And yet, this is not a biblical study in the sense of a Sunday school Bible study or a study on morals or good ethics and how we live in society. Rather, it is a look at the patterns of how authority works from a revealed standpoint among the Hebrews and how it's fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. So I'm particularly interested in how Torah set away a framework of thinking for the Hebrews about their responsibility as a priestly nation. The implications of this revelation speak to the way we run businesses, the way we run our churches, the way we run our culture, and even the way we rule our families. So I want to think and talk and write a few series of blog entries now, capturing the essence of those talks in short little excerpts. And I'm thinking of this as ruling from the heart, and sort of subtitled "The Surprise of Adonai in a World of Baals." So there are two forms of power that I'll develop as we go. One, Adonai, which is what the Hebrews used to refer to Yahweh. It was a name they gave for Yahweh, but they had adapted the word Adon, which is a name for a ruler. They had adapted that in a divine way by adding the end of the word so that they used the name Adonai in reference to their Lord. That was contrasted against the name Baal. Baal was also a name applied to a divine entity, but it was also applied to human beings. So both words, Adon and Baal, are names for rulers or for leaders. And so in a sense, I'm going to contrast the Adon versus the Baal. Now, as I'm talking about this, I'm looking at a slide by Hay Kai, and if you're on my blog, you'll have seen the slide. And what he has depicted is one of the earliest pictures in the gospel story of Jesus Christ. It is the flight to Egypt. We know, according to the story, that right after the baby is born, that we have a story of the wise men traveling to visit the baby. We don't know how long it has been since he's been born, but he has been born. They have come to visit him. They go by way of Herod and ask for directions, which alerts Herod to the fact that there is this threat to his power, this king that has been obviously announced in the heavens. And he wants the wise men to tell him where the baby is once they discover him. Of course, the wise men, after they discover the baby Jesus, they're warned in a dream not to tell Herod, and so they leave. Then Joseph is warned in a dream to leave the area because Herod is going to attack, and so Joseph has to leave. And so in this picture from Haggai, we have a picture of Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus, and they're walking across the desert. And behind them, in the backdrop of the picture, is a pyramid. And so this picture for me is a great contrast between two forms of power, the Adonai and the Baal. We have here Jesus, who the story is revealing is a king, is in fact the king of kings, and he is helpless, fragile. He has to be taken care of by Mary and Joseph. And he is set against this giant pyramid, this image of imperial power of the land of Egypt, this power that has been able to bring civilizations under its own control. It brought other nations, other people groups under its own control, and was able to build great structures through slave labor. So we have these two dramatic contrasting images of power in this one picture, and it's a great way to begin to think about these two forms of power, the Baal and the Adonai, because our power is at work in all our in any kind of group that we're involved in. There will be some form of power in the way power and authority work. And over these next few talks, I want to open up this idea of power and authority with the backdrop of that picture from Haggai, the picture of Joseph and Mary walking across the desert with a baby, and in the contrast of the medieval world, the way they would talk about the baby Jesus, the one who held the heavens in place, is held up in a manger. That you have the Lord of the universe putting himself in a helpless position as an infant. So one very distinct form or expression of power against a grand visual display of power, the giant pyramid of our ability to conquer and to shape and create in our own image. So two great pictures of power that will shape the way we do business, the way we have families, the way we form relationships, and the way we run our governments. So I'll leave that in the backdrop, and then we'll proceed in the next few talks to open this up, these two contrasting models. And I'm going to close this first talk with one little quote from the book of Hosea. In Hosea, we see the great contrast between the Baal and the Adonai. And I'm just going to read this. This is in Hosea 2. And Hosea is talking about Israel running to the Baals. And Yahweh rejects the name Baal for himself. So this is starting in Hosea 2, 13. And I will punish her for the feast of the Baals, and when she burned to them and adorned herself with her ring and jewelry and went after her lovers and forgot me, declares the Lord. Therefore I will allure her, bring her into the wilderness, speak tenderly to her. I will give her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope, and there she shall answer as in the days of her youth, as in the time she came out of Egypt. And in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, and will no longer will you call me my Baal, for I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth, and they shall be remembered by name no more. Yahweh rejects the reference of Baal unto himself. And as I open up the ideas of why he might do that, and what does the Baal mean, and what are its implications for human power, I hope it might help all of us think about how power works.